Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. So glad you joined us today. With me in the studio again today is Laverne Kreider. Welcome back.
Good to join you again, Larry.
It's great to have you here. We've been talking about the 21 tests of leadership, and there's 21 different episodes, different segments on these 21 different tests of leadership. Came out of a book that I'd written many years ago called Passing, the 21 Tests of Leadership. And we have, if you're new today, we already have talked about, you know, the test of your calling, knowing how you're called. You must be called by God to do what you're doing. Because the truth is, if somebody talks you into it, somebody else talks you out of it. That's what happens. Then the humility test, you know, learning how to give credit to others and honor the Lord and all that we do. The test of teamwork, you know, you have a great vision, but without knowing how to build a team and without... it's so important, isn't it? Without, we had a great time talking about teamwork and how to have a healthy team. And again, this applies to our families, this applies to work, applies to church, applies to community organizations, to businesses, whatever. These are biblical principles of leadership, and we're all called to leadership in some way. Now, we talked about the releasing test, how we train people, and then some need to be released. We can't hang on to them, and especially in the church world. That often happens when pastors were trying to keep people in their church, you know, who are serving in certain roles, and really they may be called to something else, so we're training them for the future. And that's how we can see multiplication and blessing. The test of priorities, making sure our priorities are in the Lord, keeping Him first. The test of transition, when we make changes in our lives, how do we do that effectively? How do we bring people with us? The test of criticism, there's a good one. People don't like to be criticized. I sure do, but you know, we're tested in that. We are criticized. We have to learn how to deal with that in an effective way. So it's redemptive. And then the test of dependency, again, dependency of the Lord through prayer and seeking the Lord, keeping Him first. And the test of conflict, that's a big one again.
Which kind of goes along with criticism,
it,
too.
It does. Yeah, they're close cousins. They really are.
They are.
Yeah, and how we can see conflict being used in our lives to see us fulfill the purpose of God for our lives. Today, we're talking about the test of vision. So, you want to get us started?
Well, I'm going to allow you to do a lot of the teaching on this, or sharing on this. Yeah, we can talk about it later, but I am not as visionary as you. You know, it looks different, but I'd love to hear from you, you know, because you are very visionary, and I've seen visions fulfilled, you know, in our lives.
Many times.
But I often give God the credit and you for just encouraging me in this area.
Well, you are visionary in many ways. Again, we all have different roles to play. There's times I help you fulfill the visions God given you. We talk about it later. There's times you help me fulfill the vision that God's given me. The truth is, there's no real leadership without vision. Because vision is where we're headed. Where are we going? And, I mean, we've said often back when we pastored the first Dove Church back in 1980, you know, we often tell the funny story that we look at each other one day and say, wouldn't it be amazing if by the time we're 80 years of age, this church would go to 200 people? We had no idea. We'd become a worldwide movement of over 1,000 churches, et cetera, et cetera. But that was just this kind of a starting point for us. Yeah. Often we don't have...
We didn't have a blueprint or like
we didn't when we started.
We weren't extremely at that point very visionary. Right. We just were walked in the light we had. We were just obedient to what we knew, and the vision was that we just wanted to see people come to Christ. I mean, that was our vision. We wanted to see, you know, the world reached, you know, in those late 70s, early 80s, and it was vision, but it was, looked different.
But then as God began to bless us and things started to change and grow, God was giving vision then. I remember recently I was going over some old books I had or whatever. I came across this folder. In the folder, there was this picture from United Airlines. And United Airlines had these hubs all over the world. Mm-hmm. When you fly in airlines, you open up the magazine mm-hmm. in front of your seat.
Yes.
They have those, fold it out. And these are our hubs all over the world. We fly out of hubs. And I just had this impression that someday the Dove family would have hubs all over the world. We would have places that would train leaders who would train mm-hmm. leaders. And now today that's happened all over the world, South America and Africa and India and all over the world.
But it didn't happen overnight, did it?
It did not. And we started one step at a time.
Yeah.
And then God did fulfill that vision later on. We live a half hour from Hershey, Pennsylvania, Milton Hershey, mm-hmm. with the founder of Hershey, Pennsylvania, founder of the town, but also the founder of the chocolate factory. And he had some real hard times. Mm-hmm. We ended up in a cornfield in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and started Hershey Chocolate Factory. It's amazing today. Yeah. And
all over the world.
Oh, yeah. I was so shocked. I got off the airplane a couple of years ago. I was in Malaysia. I got off in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And I got off the plane, and right there was this huge display of Hershey chocolates, in Malaysia. And of course, they have a children's home, all that. But they had a vision. He had a clear vision. And then other people came around him to see that vision fulfilled. So I've seen that all over the world. When God gives people a vision, we need others who walk with us to see the vision fulfilled. But we want to talk today about how do we actually get a vision, and then how do we see that vision fulfilled. Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is the test?
That's a great question.
Because these are 21 tests of leaders.
What
is the test of vision?
That's a great question.
There's different types of vision. Mm-hmm. We're all wired differently. But what is the test?
Here's the test, Laverne. The test is when we have a vision, an idea, a vision we believe is from God, how do we see it fulfilled? There are many people who have visions and ideas running out their ears, mm-hmm. but it's never fulfilled. Because there are steps, biblical steps to mm-hmm. take to see these visions mm-hmm. fulfilled. And honestly, my favorite Bible character that saw a vision fulfilled was Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what are some scriptural...
Uh-huh, okay, let's talk about it.
And there's different seasons, right? And
right.
Different time restraints.
Right.
And don't you think... When God is working this in our hearts as we're processing, He's a God of process.
Right.
He's working character in us.
He sure is.
As He's developing this vision. I'm thinking of, you saw those hubs. But oh my goodness, the years that God was working character in us.
And no idea even what it meant back then.
You're falling before the Lord in humility.
Yeah.
And saying,
almost
God,
quit how many times. Yeah.
So there's deep work that He's doing mm-hmm. in this place.
His work is in our hearts, in our lives, in the midst of vision. It's not seeing the vision fulfilled that's the big deal. It's seeing Christ formed in us in the midst of the vision being fulfilled. Really, that is the mm-hmm. big deal. And I like Nehemiah because Nehemiah had a vision. Basically, there's three things I want to talk about today on this podcast. Number one, how do you get a vision? Number two, then, what are the steps that you have to take for that to be tested? Because visions are all tested. Mm-hmm. And then number three, how do we see the vision fulfilled? And often when I'm teaching on this in Bible schools or wherever, in training events, and I'll ask this question to students, I'll say, now, you all know the Nehemiah story. Tell me how Nehemiah got this vision. Let's start with how do we receive a vision? How did he get the vision? And it's so interesting to me. People don't know. They think,
God just dropped it into him?
They do. They do. Or they think that somehow he got it in a dream or a revelation or something. And I say, no, look at your Bible. Go to Nehemiah 1. You'll see where he got the vision. His brother went back to Jerusalem. His brother saw the walls were down. Mm-hmm. And his brother came back and told him what happened. And then he weeps and cries and, prays and goes to the king and starts taking steps. But it happened because his brother said, that's what is important. There are many leaders think they have to get the vision.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always the case. Often somebody else might have the vision, or at least a piece of the vision. And they might, maybe the primary leader has the main vision, mm-hmm. but others have the vision and the direction as to how to see that mm-hmm. vision fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, we have to learn how to receive a vision. We can receive a vision through something we read in a book. I mean, I read, the books of John Wesley, the story of John Wesley, and learned a lot about vision for cell groups, for example, and small groups, because it got it from that. Learned about vision for revival from Charles Finney by reading mm-hmm. books. And so sometimes we get it. Some people think, arrogantly, I think, they have to get everything. They pray and they get all the vision themselves. No, that's not true.
There's nothing new under the sun, is there?
Under the sun. No, God wants to use many people. And different people with different pieces to it. We prophesy in part, the Bible says. We hear in part in 1 Corinthians. So we get some of it. But others, and that's why teamwork is so important. And it's because others bring in so much to see that all happen. So number one, we have to receive the vision. I love Proverbs 29 and 18. Where there's no vision, the people perish. So we need to have a vision. You know, whether you're leading a business or a church or a family, whatever, we need to have a clear vision. And that word perish means people run without restraint. They don't know what to do. That's why we need leadership today in government. We need leadership in the church. We need leadership in our communities and in our homes, because we need to get a vision from God. And where are we called to go? We're right here right now, but where are we called to go in the future? So I think wise leaders recognize that the process of sharing vision, building trust, and taking enough time for God's people to own the vision is so, so important. I was speaking to a group of pastors yesterday, and I told them, you know, as pastors, you're pastors from another group of churches outside the Deaf family. And I said to them, you know, it might take 20 years for God to give us an idea. And finally, after 20 years, we got it. And we'll go to a conference or something, somebody will speak something, and say, we need to do that in our church.
Yeah.
Then we come back, and we expect the people in the church to get it in 20 days, right?
Yeah. It doesn't work.
Of course not, because we need to give people time to also understand what this vision is. So it's receiving the vision, that's the first thing. Now, the big part of this is the testing of the vision, because that's the second point. All vision will be tested. Nehemiah, you know, went back to Jerusalem. First of all, he had a testing with the king. He was the cupbearer for the king. King said, you can go. He went back and he took, you know, his horses or mules, wherever they had, just a couple people at night, and went back to look at the walls in Jerusalem. And they were bad. It was looking bad. So he got the affirmation that, yeah, this is something God's called him to do. But he tested. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, when she realized she was going to birth Jesus, she treasured these things, kept them in her
pondered these things in her heart.
Yeah. So I think often that's a big mistake. Yes. Many people, especially visionary leaders, they get a new vision, they expect everyone tomorrow to get it.
Well, you often say you already see it in your mind, in your heart.
As if it's done.
And then it comes through and people are like, what? Because we haven't processed it.
Right.
But you have, you know.
Right.
And so that is where you need to ponder.
Exactly.
The strong visionary people need to ponder, wait, write it down. Wrestle with it in prayer.
And that really is part of the testing of the vision. Mm-hmm. I love Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, first few verses, you see Habakkuk, you know, waiting on God. And he says, I'll look to see what God will say. And he said, okay, he had a vision. Because the next verse says, verse 2-3, says, write the vision down. So he looks to see what God's saying, and then he writes it down. The process, Laverne. Mm-hmm. It is so important.
God is a God of process.
It is, and many leaders miss the process. I got an idea, I'm going to go do it, and it falls flat, and they wonder why. They haven't followed God's process. They haven't brought people together. I think every vision that I'm aware of that we've ever seen God fulfill through us, it was always with a team. It's always God brings a team. Nehemiah couldn't do this himself. He needed a team to do it with him. And, of course, he came back and shared what happened and back home. And they went back and they built a team. Mm-hmm. And so it was amazing. In 52 days, they did that whole, they fixed that whole wall. It was amazing.
It was amazing.
With all the testing, all the people came against him, you know, Tobias.
They had a lot of tests.
A lot of tests. But still, and then if I go back to Habakkuk, just want to finish that thought before I forget. And Habakkuk, he says, write the vision down on tablets so you can write. It's so important to write down the vision. Whatever the vision is, you have, write it down. Now, here's why. It's not just to share it with other people. That's important. But when I write it down, and then I say, well, it's not quite like that. And then I rewrite it and rewrite it and rewrite it until you finally realize this is the vision God gave us. This is it. That way you can share with others. Most visions are fulfilled with other people helping us see the visions fulfilled. Very seldom is it just us fulfilling a vision. We need other people, because I've always needed people to resource my weaknesses. I have some strengths, but as a leader, I have a lot of weaknesses. But other people, I found over the years, have come around us, and we've been so blessed to have teams of people we work with.
Don't you lay that vision on the altar?
You do.
As you're processing and working through it, you acknowledge, even as Abraham laid Isaac on the altar, you're like, look, this is the vision, this is the promise, but Lord, I've given it to you, and
exactly.
I want you to work in and through us
exactly.
to fulfill that vision.
Exactly. And a lot of it has to do with the timing of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually what we think is the timing is different than what God thinks is the timing.
And I think over the years, that's what I've seen so much over and over again. It's not that the vision was off.
Mm-hmm.
It was the timing that is off. And people get very, very discouraged. It's just timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. God's doing a bigger picture here.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And then in Habakkuk, just close this whole Habakkuk chapter, in Habakkuk chapter 2, it says the just shall live by their faith.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this process, this testing, writing the vision down, building teams, whatever it takes. But then we simply have to then walk in faith and see it happen. And obviously, we've seen many visions fulfilled over the years. When I'm around visionary people where they're very godly, visionary people, I find they have walked through the process. They understand how important the process is.
They've gone through the fire, usually.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And of course, you know, we saw God do great things and wanted to quit a few times. And because that's part of the testing. That's part of realizing this is about God and not about us. So the third point then, the third thing to do is implement the vision. So, you know, we get this vision from God. We receive it, however that was. And maybe a vision for a healthy family. It might be a vision for whatever it is. Change a community. See something happen in our church or business or whatever. But we then, after the vision's tested, and then God brings people around us often to see it happen. And then we get to the place where we see it implemented. Now, you said in the beginning that you feel like you're often not as much of a visionary.
Well, I'm not. It's the way I'm wired to some extent. I used to say, I don't have a lot of vision. And the Lord did check me on that,
you know,
and saying, no, there's vision within you. It just looks different.
Right.
I'm more pastoral. I love mentoring.
Right.
I don't have like vision for the grandiose visions that you often have and see things that, you know, to see 1,000 churches or something like that. But we shouldn't discredit. We all, because Christ is within us. He is visionary within us. And so my vision was to see people healthy and whole, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, and specifically in mentoring. And I had a vision. I wanted to be a builder. I'm a builder.
You are a builder.
Yeah. And so in that way, I have a vision. 2 Timothy 2, is it 2? 2:2
2:2, sure is.
Where, you know, you train others or disciple others that can disciple or train others.
Yep, 4
generations. Train others, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
And so that in that way, I am a visionary. The Lord
sure.
said, you know, don't discredit that. But you definitely, in our relationship, you definitely are the one that would get a greater vision for the much bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
But one isn't better than the other.
No, it's not. It's just the way I'm wired. It's the way you're wired. I remember back in 2012 when we felt like, you know, God called us with a team of great people to start a family of churches. And we'd grown to about 200 churches. And which is amazing. I mean, I forget how many continents of the world. It was amazing. But we plateaued. Something was wrong. We needed fresh vision. I remember in prayer, the Lord spoke to me from Psalms 2:8, that if you ask me, I'll give you the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth as your possession. And just felt this impression that if we obeyed God and asked him how to do it, that by 2020, that we would grow as a family of churches to more than 1,000 churches. And it seemed kind of crazy. I'm going to share it with you.
Yeah, and I was like, really?
So, you know, we prayed about it. We felt like this could be God. Share with our international leadership team. Again, it was a process.
It took time. Yeah.
It took time.
Because we didn't want to just be presumptuous. You know, you really wanted it to be tested. You
and if I would have forced it would have never happened, I'm convinced. Yeah. And our team rallied around that and said, yes, this is God. And so then it reminded me a bit of the wall around Jerusalem with Nehemiah, you know. That was a large vision to see the whole wall restored. But the way they did it was with smaller visions.
Mm-hmm.
The families said, we'll take this end of the wall.
Yes.
We'll take this part of the wall.
Good.
We'll take this part of the wall.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw. We saw that happen. Yeah. We saw different people. And people in India said, well, this is how it works for us. And people in Africa, this is how this works for us.
And prayer.
USA.
Lots of prayer.
Lots of prayer.
It, yeah.
Lots of seeking God together. And amazing, by 19... Well, in fact, by 2019, our family church was more than 1,000 churches right before COVID hit. And it was amazing how God did that. But it was really following these principles we're talking about here. You receive a vision. The vision must be tested. You test it with people around you. You test it for timing and all that. And then you simply see it implemented and see it fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So we've seen visions fulfilled many times. And I just wanted you know, those listening to the podcast need to know, God is a visionary. He mm-hmm. lives inside of you. And he wants to fulfill visions he's given you. But remember, the visions will be tested. So don't think God hasn't heard you. It's just there's a timing where it must be tested. And usually the way it looks is different than we expected. Right.
And he is the master builder, isn't he?
He is.
Builds that vision in us and through us.
So there you have it, one of the 21 tests of leadership, the test of seeing vision fulfilled, the test of vision, seeing receiving vision, seeing it tested, and then seeing it implemented and fulfilled. Check out the show notes today for the book, Passing 21 Tests of Leadership, and some other notes on there that will be helpful to you. And we've enjoyed coming week after week. To share our hearts in regards to things we've learned, some of the hard way, about leadership and the different tests of leadership. And we have lots of tests to go, and we'll be looking forward to being back with you. We love you. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.